Go ahead. Go ahead, skin it. Skin that smoke wagon and see what happens.
We're not intimidated by thugs.
Mugs, pugs, thugs. Litwits, halfwits, dimwits.
Thug means never having to say you're sorry.
Any thug can kill. I want you to take your ego out of the equation.
Thug life.
Bud White is a valuable officer.
White's a mindless thug.
Oh, hell yeah. They got robbers, thugs, drug dealers, right, you name it.
You think you got any thug in you?
This broad land.
Let that word resound.
Yes. I'm Jim. He's Collection with the Film Thugs. How you doing?
Hi.
Hi. So I am in the
That's right. Use it. Keep eye contact with me. Oh, yeah. That's the English.
Oh. Ooh, boy, that is... God damn, that is hoppy.
We are having a...
That beer is tasting
Lazy
me.
Magnolia Southern Hospitality. You see what they did there?
I do. I can't wait to see what happens to that fucking mug of yours when you take a swig of that.
Charles the First.
Yes. Yes, that
it's
is.
It's not unpleasant, though.
It's not unpleasant, but it certainly grabs you by the short hairs.
It does, and then yes. Grabs you by the nuts.
Newts, indeed.
With its hoppiness.
It is hopsty. So, I am in the negotiation phases of this house purchase. Our option is up tomorrow.
Yeah.
Which will be Saturday, or for the folks who are listening to this, yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
So, option is up tomorrow. So, we had the house inspected last week and got a handful of things. The guy wasn't able to inspect the water heater because it was blocked by the tenants of the house. It's being rented right now. So we would like to have it inspected beforehand, which can't happen before Monday. Whatever. It's going to cost another $150. The buyer said they will make that as a concession. The main issue that we had is that they found evidence of vermin in the attic, but they are hiring someone professional who will repair the damage, catch the creature, close the point of access.
Right.
Additionally, we had... these things, and I want to repair damaged trim and fascia boards, replace/repair damaged window screens, have all light fixtures working and operable. These could not be tested due to possibly bad light bulbs. 99% chance it's just bad light bulbs, but it might not be. There is the guest bathroom downstairs. The toilet does not have water flowing to it.
Right.
It is also that and the upstairs guest bathroom, the toilets need to be secured to the floor. Clear clogged overflow drains in the lower guest bath, lavatory, and master bath. Clean mechanical exhaust vents and bathroom heaters. Clear clogged flapper vent on dryer system. Repair leaking garbage disposal and display on stove. The offer that we're being given is $1,000 total. For all of that, including the $150 for the reinspection. Now, the concern Hope and I have is if the lights and the toilet are more expensive than that, that could be a problem. Essentially, we're going to have $850 to fix all the stuff on that list.
Mm-hmm.
Your opinion, is that a sufficient amount?
I like plumbers.
Uh-huh.
But... I don't know any plumbers up there.
Yeah.
And they can get pretty pricey.
Yes.
Just for the trip charge.
Mm-hmm.
Just showing up.
Yeah, just showing up. And we haven't had the water heater checked out. The only thing that might be wrong with it is it might be out of code by not having a drip pan.
Yeah, whatever.
But because it's heating the fuck out of the water. The water's like 150 degrees.
And the same thing at our house. They just turn the water up as hot as they can do.
Yeah.
I don't know why.
Yeah. So the question is this an adequate amount, or should I say, make it $1,500 total and we're golden?
I think that's fair.
Yeah,
because you have, with those stated concerns,
because then it's $1,350
right,
for us to repair that shit. I think that's fine.
What can they say?
There is a possibility in there of us having to replace the garbage disposal.
Yeah.
There's a possibility in there of us having, well, the stove won't need to be replaced. We're going to replace it. There's a display on it that just don't work.
Right.
So we're going to replace this. Well, we also don't like the stove. We want to replace it with stainless steel motherfucker.
Yeah.
But it's broken. It's part of the house. It should be fixed. I think
$850,
honestly, the lowest I'd be willing to go is $1,150 so that they're paying for the inspection and giving us $1,000.
Sure.
Because that, honestly, Hope is like, what if the plumbing is a deeper issue? It could be, but it probably isn't. Odds are it's not.
It's possible.
Mm-hmm. So,
however unlikely.
And by the way, if the realtor calls during this show, I will take the call and record it. And you will just hear me talking to my realtor saying, look, here's the situation, and go from there. So this is going to be exciting for all of you.
I would like to masturbate right now in this car. You know, if I had my stuff with me, I would.
Well, I did bring my stuff with me.
Yeah, your stuff's all over the place.
I did that this past Tuesday when we closed.
Oh, God, how good did that feel?
Pretty awesome. But then there was the long, long wait between closing and keys.
Yes.
It was like the Cromwellian interregnum.
Mm-hmm.
It just went on for a few years.
Yeah, yeah.
In the meantime, we checked out everything in the area.
Yeah,
it's pretty much like this without a giant specs right next to my movie theater.
There's a goddamn massive HEB just north of us, right across from the train station that I will be taking to work. Dude, there's a fucking chiropractor there that my licensed massage therapist girlfriend could walk into. I thought that cool. There's a cool little sports bar type thing. It's a small one, but there's a little.
Where is that?
It's you take Crystal Falls, turn left on the old 183, and it's just right in there. It's not that. It is like midway point between us.
I see.
The only downside is I found out evidently the hockey arena does still have the joke leg space in the seats.
What do you mean?
There is about that much space between the seat in front, between the seat in front of you and the edge of the seat that you are in.
That'll be odd.
It will be odd, but you know, if we can get free tickets, as your niece says happens, I'll watch some fucking hockey, man.
I don't care.
Mm-hmm. So that'll be awesome.
Chances are we'll be able to stretch out.
Yes, it's hockey in Texas. Let's be honest.
So
speaking of, USA lost to Canada in the semis, hold on one moment. I might have to edit that out because goddamn that was boring. I thought that it would be funny or something, but what the hell? We'll go with that. All that. So there's some news and doings that I came across this week. And I'm going to start with I watched the new episode of Ghost Adventures that was called The Sharon Tate's Ghost.
Yes.
Did you watch it?
I did.
They turned it up to 11.
Yeah, you certainly
Hope
did.
Watched it with me. She's like, rewind that. What the fuck did he? That's a thing. It was goddamn ridiculous. That seriously might be the most ridiculous episode they've ever aired.
And that's saying something.
That is saying something.
This is post-Romania trip.
Mm-hmm. It's because they're like Indian burial ground. First off, why does everyone think Indians are fucking magic? Seriously, why does everyone think Indians are magic?
I could tell you why.
Yes?
Because our bones are made of gold.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Really?
From the Starfather. He came down, made our bones into gold, and that's why you pale faces don't have gold bones. Hashtag gold bones.
Hashtag gold bones, huh? Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, that's
it's also why we're really good at running casinos.
Ah, see, now this circle of fucking life, man.
Smoke on the water, fire in the sky.
I gotcha. Mm-hmm. I can't argue that. I'm trying
to. Ergo.
Yeah?
We're magic.
Again, logic is flawless on that.
Mm-hmm.
God damn it. This goddamn playlist isn't responding. It's starting to piss me off.
I'm sorry.
Barbaric!
Who's that?
So I'm just going to shut it down. I had a perfect drop for that moment. But of course, it's iPhone, one of those weird. Here's the only thing that sucks about iPhones. Every once in a while, for about 5 minutes, it'll just be like, nope.
Yes. Yeah,
No. I need to push this.
Headphone jack just decides not to work.
Yeah.
Like, no.
Then it's fine. Then it's fucking fine. Right as goddamn rain. But every once in a while.
Just give you a little Dudley Campbell when I was 14. I'm going go to my friend's house. No, you're not.
No, you're not. No.
What? Why? Just, no, you need to stay home.
Just want you to remember that I can say this, boy.
But I didn't do anything. No.
But that.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Sure. That episode of Ghost Adventures, fucking magical. Like this mountain is exposed in here, so that must be where the energy comes from, where they traveled up this hill.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So the mountain is somehow, or the area is a natural receptacle for electromagnetic energy.
Yes.
Right?
Yes, that is...
As far as I know...
That is a conceit that we are...
As far as I know, electromagnetic energy is just that, and not ghosts.
Yeah.
I'm not a scientist, but I did stay at a Holiday Inn Express. So I don't know what it means.
Yeah. I just...
Look at him!
So couldn't you just say, okay, that's energy,
yeah,
and it may affect you in odd ways, make you see things, make you feel uneasy when you shouldn't feel it, whatever. But it's fucking that, and yeah, not the spirit of Wima Tanya,
yeah,
and his family.
That was some wacky jackassness
I'm
that was going
asking.
On. It was fucking the crate. That, honestly, that show had so much of everything that I love about that show in it.
Maybe put my fingerless gloves on and scratch my head.
And I, no, you tell me.
Exactly how I feel watching that show.
Yep. Yeah, just every time they say it, as especially since I just fucking took a research class and got really into it, every time someone's like, oh, this research indicates.
Really?
Oh, my God, that's never what's...
No.
That's never what's...
Studies say,
yeah,
my favorite.
Yes.
The consensus of thinking is...
Yes.
Fuck you. That's what that is.
Research done at the CERN Institute in Switzerland has indicated... Okay, there we go.
Got it.
Yes. A recent research study that was done at MIT suggests that this energy might... But you know why? Because it's MIT and they don't study things that aren't real.
Dan Marino should die of gonorrhea and rot in hell.
Yep.
Let that word resound.
Gonorrhea. Let it resound. So, last week, there's a big hullabaloo because we are the 50th anniversary of the Beatles' Ed Sullivan Show performance.
Right.
Hulu has their entire performance from that with all the other parts cut out. And you know what the most remarkable part of it is? Not when they have to go through and introduce the band, because there was a point in time when someone had to say, that is Paul McCartney, that is John Lennon. Like people, there was a point in time where they had to do that. It was Ed Sullivan's face when they cut back from him. And he's honestly, his expression says, I have no fucking idea what is happening right now. This is goddamn insanity. And it was. I mean, that's the only way to describe it. That mania, yes, it fucking well was.
Yeah, yeah.
Absolutely incredible. But it reminded me of my favorite Paul McCartney quote. And people always say the Beatles weren't materialistic. Bullshit. John and I would sit down and say, okay, let's ride a swimming pool. Yeah.
Yes. That's excellent.
Yeah, it's fucking fantastic. But yeah, it was a cool performance. You see how tight they played.
Oh, I mean, yeah,
they were
talking about 10,000 hours.
Mm-hmm.
Times 30.
Yeah, you saw the 10,000 hours by the time they played Sullivan.
Yes.
Like, holy shit, it's a great show. I also got the Night That Changed the World, where it was that special where people were playing their songs and talking about how... And I think the best line I came up with, I don't know if it was said by somebody else before, but I'm taking credit for it. Anytime someone's like, yeah, I don't like the Beatles. Who's your favorite band? What do you ask? Because their favorite band is the Beatles.
Unless it's Nikki Sixx, because his favorite band's Rolling Stones.
Yeah, well, there's no accounting. So. But, like, you know, your favorite band's Motorhead? Guess what? Lemmy's favorite band?
Certainly.
Fucking Beatles. Everyone, it's one of those things that the more you look at it, it can't be overstated.
My response to that was from Sam Cooper.
Mm-hmm.
He said, well, you love Black Sabbath, but their favorite band was the Beatles. Said, that's great. I acknowledge it.
Yeah, yeah.
Acknowledged. Mm-hmm. Please don't play that record.
Yeah.
I felt that way at the time. I don't feel that way now. I can appreciate it.
Exactly.
We're talking about damn on 20 years ago.
Yeah, yeah.
18 or whatever.
You're fucking angry.
So it's not the same anymore. But
yeah. But there,
in case you are, Dick.
Yeah.
That's your response.
That's your response.
Fine. Don't put it on.
It's like, but anyone is like, yeah, I just don't get it. Really?
Whoa, you don't? Whoa, yeah, that's a different
animal. Yeah, I know. Yeah, that's when somebody ever throws that as like,
don't get it.
You don't get it?
No.
Shut the fuck up, stupid. Yeah. Brian actually has a debate, ongoing debate with his wife over whether the Beatles or Led Zeppelin are the best rock band ever.
No.
It's like, that's not a competition. No. And granted, Led Zeppelin, with the way that they played and what they added to the structure of how modern rock is, cannot be overstated.
No.
The riffs and that shit.
Fine.
Yeah. So,
but we're talking, the Beatles were before all that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So that's just part of their makeup.
Yeah. That's like saying...
They're like forefathers.
Yeah, that's like saying, I like water, but I don't care for the oxygen.
Yeah,
like,
no.
Without them, that shit don't exist.
Right.
So, oh, man. And so, have you seen the preview for Guardians of the Galaxy?
Yeah, I saw the 15-second thing.
Oh, no, they've got a slightly longer one that's pretty great. It looks pretty great, but at the end of it, they go through this whole thing, and like they call themselves the Guardians of the Galaxy. Or they're called the Guardians of the Galaxy. Who calls them that? Mostly themselves. And then the guy who's the roommate from Shaun of the Dead, what a bunch of a-holes. If that was on the poster, I would see that. Even if it sucked, I would see that movie every day for a week.
That would
be
great.
If the poster was, what a bunch of a-holes.
The poster I saw just said, you're welcome. Which is pretty good.
That is fucking fantastic.
You can't say, what a bunch of a-holes.
Yeah. You're welcome. Good. Yeah. So evidently I realized this when we were up in the Leander area. They got the Carl's Jr. Mm-hmm. And it reminded me for some reason of all these people going, oh my God, we got an In-N-Out Burger here.
We do.
There's apparently like two In-N-Out Burgers in Austin. And here's why. And my reaction to it, it's because we have so many California transplants.
Yeah,
here.
Certainly
the same California transplants that if I were to go to France and eat at McDonald's, would be like, oh, you have to have the burger you can get at home.
Yeah.
You who moved to Texas and said, I can't get the fast food hamburger I like. Well, what about Whataburger? It's not In-N-Out Burger. Well, what about this? It's not In-N-Out Burger. It's literally the exact same thing, except you pussy ache until they fucking build one here.
Now, I know you'd all prefer to go to a bar, drink beer, and eat chips of various textures.
You're why never prepared there, for that delivery.
Why isn't there a Bob's Big Boy then?
Yeah, why isn't there a fat burger?
Yeah.
Because I want a fat burger.
Come on.
Yeah. But it's one of those things that people tend to overlook in themselves, where it's like, this isn't the same as what I get at home.
Yeah. It's too bad.
No. You want to have your mind blown?
Go ahead.
A sequel to The Purge is coming out this year.
Okay.
Yeah.
Super.
Yeah. We're talking less than a year after the fucking original came out. We've got a sequel.
Well.
And this one looks a little bit more interesting because it's like a couple driving home the night of The Purge. Like, we'll get home. And then their car breaks down on the bridge and The Purge starts. And it's like, fuck, we're screwed.
Yes, you are.
Yes. And that, to me, is slightly more interesting to see what the outside world would be like during that. But at the same time, not enough to actually watch it.
Oh, God, no.
Mayhaps if it's free on Netflix
maybe
soon.
Maybe just glide past it.
Yeah.
There was some spoof on Slash Film I saw where it was a joke service offered from Netflix where you can browse their entire catalog of past or present and never watch them. Just add them to your queue.
Yeah, that's
it's about right.
Yeah. See, the thing is, I've been on Netflix. Like, those commercials pissed me off when it was like, Netflix member since 2007 when it was 2008.
Yeah.
Like, I've been a Netflix member since 2002. Okay? I've been on this shit for the long haul. Right. I was the first person I knew who found out there is a limit to the number of DVDs you can put in your queue.
There really is.
And it is 500.
Your instant queue is 1,000.
Oh, nice.
I think.
Nice.
Or something like that. I added a lot. Yeah. Probably not 1,000.
And you spend more time looking for a movie than you'll ever. It's like me at Specs. I spend more time looking for beer than I do drinking it. And that,
yep, I
brother,
spent half
is,
an hour there. Came out with 1 6-pack of this shit.
Yeah. With the mango aftertaste.
What does it say?
A traditional
mango in the finish.
Traditional IPA with southern complexity.
What the hell does that mean?
What does that mean, that it's still trying to make up for its racist ancestry?
Barbaric.
Not you, Bird.
No.
No, no.
Hear me.
Son of a filthy fat-titted whore.
I just like playing that one.
That's fun.
There's another preview that I saw that you'll fucking love. It's called Jodorowsky's Dune. And it's a documentary about the original attempt to make Dune.
Oh, my.
Where it was Salvador Dali and Orson Welles and H.R. Geiger and all that. And the guy's like, it never ended up getting made.
Yes.
They picked apart his creative team. Essentially, he assembled the team that made all of the, you know, Blade Runner, Alien, all of the fucking landmark sci-fi shit originated in this. It looks wild. Like, seriously, it was he asked Orson Welles to do it, and Orson Welles is like, no. He goes, I will hire this chef. He cook for you every day. He's like, all right.
Who is he going to be, Harkonnen?
I think so. Probably. I'm not sure. Well, all I know is like the king of something or other was going to be Salvador Dali.
Oh, okay. So he'd be the whatever. Doesn't matter.
It was
going to
have
you're talking
like
about.
Mick Jagger in it. No, it was going to be fucking nuts.
Sounds good.
Yeah.
I like it.
Yeah. It's
probably
been
a hell lot better than David Lynch's.
Yeah.
I like David
Lynch. Literally sounds like that level of nutty. That level of nutty. It was great.
I mean, where else are we going to find some giant, bloated, corrupt, floating fat man? Spices of life!
Yes. I was listening to the greatest interview. Not the greatest interview, the best part of an interview. Matt Besser, who was a member of the Upright Citizens Brigade, directed Freak Dance, which is fucking awesome. A man who I drunkenly accosted on a bus at Austin Film Festival.
Nice.
Like, I'm going to talk to you. And he just had this look like, oh, that's wonderful. This fucking guy's not going to leave me alone now. But he was saying that when he was...
6'8" of enthusiasm. Yeah,
6'8" of Rex Goliath-fueled enthusiasm staring at me going, I love your comedy album, bro. Help. Amy Poehler looks like she smells pretty.
Does.
Pause real quick. You lucky people have just been privy to me going through the final machinations of my house negotiations. All is well. Everything has worked out as it should. Bully, bully, bully for us. Now, what the fuck was I talking about? Oh, yes, Matt Besser. I terrorized him on a bus once, as I'm oft wont to do. Mm-hmm.
I would like to masturbate right now in this car. You know, if I had my stuff with me, I would.
So or bus.
Yeah.
He was talking about... how he had to join Alateen. His mom wanted him to join Alateen when he was a kid because his dad was an alcoholic. And he was like, he's just a guy who'd come home from work and like drink whiskey until he went to sleep. And, you know, like he'd just yell at me if I asked him too many questions. And he's like, I'm in this meeting. And it's like, my dad got drunk and he slammed my head against a wall and put a cigarette out in my arm. And then it comes to me and I'm like, well, when we'd go on fishing trips, he'd drink an entire case. This total. I'm sorry. I think I greatly have been made to overestimate the problems in my life, and I apologize for that. I just found that very funny. I have two anecdotes that are tied together in the same story.
Mm-hmm.
So the other morning, I stopped off at the H-E-B Central Market to get a delicious omelet for breakfast.
But what Randall's do?
I know. Well, no. I got my salad there as well.
Handcrafted salad.
Chef prepared salad.
Oh.
See, Randall's does the handcrafted. Theirs are chef prepared. See, those hands could belong to anybody.
Yeah, these hands need to belong to a craftsman.
A craftsman, a chef that will chef.
A chef. You chefed it.
Mm-hmm. Where do you chef? here's a little rule. It's one of those things where you walk through the line, place your order at the register, then they give you a little vibrating taser looking thing. Then, you know, yes, you store it snugly in your pant bulge, and it goes off. You go get your order. When you wait through that line, look at the menu before you reach the only register that's open.
No.
Yeah, you don't just get to the register and then go, then look at it and make up your mind.
It's really good for audio.
Can
I have the Monday special?
What
today?
Kind of fruit comes with the porridge?
A blueberry smoothie. What's in that? Strawberries in that?
Yeah. Can I get the blueberry smoothie without the blueberries? So you just want bananas and milk blended together?
Is there bananas in that? Yeah. Why didn't you tell me?
Why didn't you tell me? It's right there. It says bananas.
Never mind. Black coffee and a side of pork rinds.
This broad fucking waits through the whole line and then pulls that shit in front of me. I wanted to punch her in the back of her stupid head. Then I get to my table. I get my omelet. I'm going. And they've got those just standard salt shakers that they put like a really kind of coarse grain, like very nice salt in. Nice salt that doesn't fucking fit out of the hole. So you shake it and get like, you're like, you shake it like a fucking 13-year-old boy with a Sports Illustrated swimsuit issue, if you know what I'm saying,
and get
five grains out.
So much salt over my bedroom.
Yes, so much. It was everywhere. So what I do is I unscrew the top of the salt shaker, dump the, what's in the hid in my hand, and I just kind of spread it on. So I did that, and then I'm getting ready to eat, and I'm like, oh, I'll sprinkle a little bit more on.
Oh, no.
I did it to my fucking self. I take it up, dump it, the top comes off, salt just boom, and I went, motherfucker, god damn it. I was able to save it. I was able to save it, but it's what
barbaric.
My note for it, if you'll notice, is right there, salt avalanche.
Yeah.
And my final note, and this is just something funny that I thought up. Hope and I were talking about shit, and that show, Are You Smarter Than a Fifth Grader? I forget what it was that particularly brought this to mind. It was about specific knowledge somehow. And I said, you know, that show, Are You Smarter Than a Fifth Grader, might as well just be called, You're Right, Kids, You Never Will Use This Again.
Pretty much.
Because all the shit you learn in fifth grade, not all of it, but a lot of the shit, it's pretty much good just for that.
Yeah.
One of the best lines, I don't have a drop for it, but they were on Frisky Dingo. They're getting ready to go kidnap this guy, and the guy's son walks in, and he goes, oh, no, well... Smart young boys who bring home a C in chemistry and a C minus in algebra don't get to go along on lovely kidnappings. And the kid just mumbles, goes, yes, we'll probably use algebra like mad. Like, yes, you will. Algebra actually is useful. That is used again.
Yes, it is, actually.
You're going to sit there and tell me that you need to take this chemistry class because you're going to use it again.
Trig?
I am going to go into the arts.
Yeah, I'm not going to use trig.
No, you're not.
Ever.
Nope. Nope.
Lucky me. Sign. I'm not even sure what that is.
All I know is that has to do with sine, cosine, and tangent.
Don't curse at me, Jim.
I won't. How dare you?
How dare you?
I didn't mean to make you get all Piers Morgan on me. How dare you? How dare you?
I've got some notes.
Do it.
If I may.
Yes.
I drink before the war.
If you will. If I may.
It's campaign season, kids.
Yes.
And that means on AM radio, you have lots of Republican primary ads.
Oh, boy.
And they're all trying to out-conservative each other.
It's so adorable.
Now, locally, maybe you can. Because you're just locally.
Yeah.
You know, local judge, whatever. Mm-hmm. Maybe you are more conservative than Bill Johnson or whatever. Maybe you are. Unfortunately, when you are in the Senate,
yes,
in the federal side, you have the problem of, if you're an incumbent, especially, no, you're not.
No.
John Cornyn. John Cornyn stands up to President Obama and will defend our Constitution.
Really?
Oh, no. Mm. Was it Lamar Smith? He'll stop Obama from a... destroying our Constitution or some shit like that.
Yeah.
First of all, holy goddamn with the hyperbole.
Yeah.
Sounds good if you're hosting an AM radio show, but let's say that he is.
Yes.
Okay.
Let's just say
destroying the Constitution. Whatever.
We will accept that premise.
Accepted.
She's right. You are a penis.
Bang up job, motherfucker.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
You're the one stopping us?
Yeah.
You're the fucking knight keeping the dragon out the door? I don't think so.
Yeah.
Lamar.
Here's the way I approach most elections. I am now going to place you in the role of me. You are going to be playing me here.
All right.
Walking up to the ballot box. I can punch you in the dick with my left fist or my right fist.
No.
Yes. Yes. That is how I feel about all elections. Republican, Democrat, which fist do you want busting your nutsack?
It's just this on and on and on about how we're going to stop these people from destroying our country. And
destroying our country.
Really?
Really? That's what's happening?
Everything's okay. I mean, everything's not okay, but the sky's
pretty fucking
not falling
far from okay.
The sky's not fucking falling directly on my head.
No, not at all.
But here's my thing.
Can a bait a one thing?
Can a bait a bing ding?
The bing ding.
Yes. Again, right wing,
yes,
in inverted commas, collectively,
yes,
as far as elected officials. Let's say, again, that Obama is destroying the country,
yes,
shredding our Constitution to bits,
yes,
and corrupting, as I think one commercial put it, the very fabric of American life. As Prager would say, only someone with a college education can make a statement that inane.
Yep.
Okay.
Yes.
He is. Let's say he is.
Uh-huh.
If that's the case.
Yes.
If he is destroying the country.
Yes.
Why aren't you saying anything?
Yeah.
Why aren't you trying to stop it? Mm. Why aren't you criticizing him? Because he's black? Okay. Well, he can't do that. We can't criticize him because the media will destroy us and call us racist.
Yeah.
What if somebody calls my mama a whore? Is she? Are you a racist? Does it fucking matter? If the country is coming down, falling down around your ears.
As you say it
is. As you say it is. On fire.
Yeah.
And you are so scared of being called a racist. That is scarier than being called a racist when you aren't by people that don't agree with you anyway.
Yeah.
That's more important than saving the country you say is burning around you.
Yes.
Fuck you, pussies.
Yeah.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
But he's black. We can't criticize. I don't give a fuck.
Yeah.
I don't care.
Yep.
What happens when Hillary gets in office? Well, she's a woman. So you just, you're not really trying to stop anything.
No, you're not. You're not.
You? You're not really doing a goddamn thing. You're just cutting a promo to me.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I happen to be a little more on the right.
Yeah.
So that I'll buy your shit. And who were the people buying this shit? That's the scariest thing.
That is the scary thing,
That is fucking terrifying.
Yeah.
See, I'm an A rating from the NRA. I'm very proud. Fuck you. I'm a lifetime member. I have an A rating from the NRA.
I don't
elect me.
I don't have any rating from the NRA. What does that mean? They don't know I exist.
It doesn't mean shit. It's one of these things you throw out to people that you think are just sitting around and they're fucking sitting on a pile of guns going, he better have an A rating. Or he's not getting my vote, Martha. The fuck?
This is what I love is, here's what kills me is whenever I start talking about politics, I hate it because people are like, well, you're so conservative. No, I'm not. I'm not. I am a fucking anarchist. I think the whole thing is fucked. I really do. Oh, speaking of that, did you hear the estimate for the amount of tax revenue Colorado was going to get off of pot in the first year was $70
million? Yeah.
Do you know what their projection is right now?
$600 million?
$95
million. Yeah. Low-balling.
Yeah. Hmm. And every other state's going to be like, wait, what? We can get some of that sweet weed money?
Hmm. Speaking of sweet weed money.
Yes.
The local television will, of course, have a lot of Democrat ads.
Yes.
You're not getting off the hook either.
Okay.
All it says is, my name is Fist of Azul. And if you elect me, more money for, you know, more jobs, more opportunity, more money for all, not just the rich people. Things will happen here. Fucking gold-shitting rabbits on Lollipop Island. It's just random promises that they're not even trying anymore. It's like, hey, you'll get $1,000 if you vote for me.
I think Lewis Black put it best. The difference between Democrats and Republicans are Republicans suck, Democrats blow. A Republican will have a bad idea, and a Democrat will say, oh, yeah, I can make it worse. That's the only difference I see.
Yeah, pretty much.
And we're back. Okay, sorry, Nicole came home, and we had to say hello.
Hello.
But yes, both parties are fucking jag-offs. Have you watched any of this House of Cards?
No, not
yet. I think you'd fucking love it.
Oh, yeah. It sounds like it's rated C for Marks.
Goddamn good. Yeah. Yeah. The first episode of the second season is the bowls.
Apparently deep in them.
Oh, fucking balls deep on that. lot of Katie Mara happening in that. She is the mwah. I'm nice. Enjoying her, if you know what I'm saying, and I think you do, because
I do. I really do.
The ginger.
Yeah.
That is fucking rated J for Jim right there, because fucking hell. It's one of those things where it's like, Hope, I love you, but I hope you understand. If Christina Hendricks walks in the door, okay.
Yeah.
It's been very nice knowing you. Now get your shit the fuck out. You can go now.
Barbaric!
It is fucking barbaric. I can't. But you know what? I'd look at her and go,
oh, shit, I got you good, you fucker.
Because I am the worst. But yes, so. What other notes do you have?
That's it.
That's it? Okay. we decided to do a show about film drunks. Alcoholics in movies and television.
Indeed.
This was an odd thing to look at because many of these are very goddamn depressing.
Well,
Nicolas Cage in Leaving Las Vegas popped up a lot, and it's like, wow.
It's pretty, pretty sad.
That is fucking horrifying. That movie was very good. I saw it with my parents.
Oh, yeah.
Because my parents, like, I'm sorry, when you see The Accused with your parents when you are in sixth grade, seventh grade. All bets are off. You've pretty much said, okay, mother and father, you know that I understand this shit, and we're going to have a conversation about this afterwards.
Yeah.
And I'll be like, yes, those men should have gone to prison. What kind of man does that?
Yes.
Why would you not stop it? Why would you cheer for it? That is horrible, and no man would ever behave that way, Mom.
Where is there a pinball arcade?
Yes. Where should I take this from here? My mom's like, no, yes, Jim, you've got your shit together.
Got it.
Well done. Which reminds me, there's some folks in Australia who did this experiment where at like 10:30 at night, the guy starts practicing his drums. Everyone in the neighborhood comes over and knocks on the door. 2 weeks later, the guy plays same volume audio of a fight between a husband and wife that is obviously turning into the husband beating the shit out of the wife. No police, no lights on, nothing. Just, and it's like, well, I'm the kind of guy that I see some shit like that happen. Like, I remember I was walking downtown with some friends of mine in San Antonio back in high school. And we saw some guy look like he was going to hit his girlfriend. And the three of us just stopped and we were like, oh, fuck.
Yeah, there have been a couple of keggers during the band days where we would all go to one kegger or another or whatever.
Yeah.
And inevitably some guy would get into some scuffle with his girl or whatever or something. Or maybe just some random girl at the party.
Yeah.
And it was like the entire party had a record scratch.
Yeah.
All right, let's go.
Hell no.
And either, you know, if he got to actually hitting whenever saw that,
yes,
it would have been really bad.
Mm-hmm. Wait, hold on. I'm looking. Various texture. Hashtag film drunks. Hashtag mango in the flesh. Hashtag various textures.
Yes.
Oh, I will say, Phil Ogden sent me this this tweet last week. Listening to show 200, the thing you said about the public deciding whether drug addiction is funny or tragic is one of the most poignant things you've said on the show. Mm. At the heart of your show is two dudes who give a whole lot of shit about what goes on in the arts and the world. I'm proud of you guys.
Aww.
Fucking love you, Phil.
Got you, Snowed.
Yeah. When you come to Texas, you're going to have to clean my house. It's just what's the rudest way to respond to that? There. But speaking of, honestly, I read that for a reason subconsciously. Uh-huh. Because let's talk about Arthur, the original.
Yes, the OG drunkie.
And here's where I'll step to it. If you look at all of the things that the identifiers of whether or not you're an alcoholic, do you ever hide your drinking? Have you ever missed work? Has it affected this? Arthur is addicted to drinking, but he ain't an alcoholic because you got that much money, you're just a rousy drunk. I will say this. Arthur 2 on the rocks, not great.
No.
But I appreciate the direction they moved in with it because it was like, we set him up this way. Just fucking take it all the way. Let's do something interesting with it.
That's when they put a little thought into their sequels.
Yeah.
I have to make a sequel of this. Mm-hmm. We have to take it in a different direction. Silly people. Working so hard.
Yeah. People forget. One thing that fascinates me, like Steve Martin, people forget that he is one of the best banjo players on the planet.
Yeah.
That guy is fucking ridiculous. Dudley Moore during his lifetime, one of the best piano players alive. Mm-hmm. And he used that talent to play stupid fucking around whatever songs. It's one of those things where we forget that there are a lot of people who are crazy talented in multiple directions.
Yeah.
And it's fun. Oh, God. But the Arthur, as a kid, I just remember thinking it was funny. Mm-hmm. And then when I got older, it was like, wow,
Wow.
That's kind of sad.
Why is he doing that?
He had to marry Liza Minnelli?
He's going to get stabbed in a church with a cheese knife?
This is going to cut the cheese.
This is going to get some cheese.
It's very tragic. It was very tragic if you really, if you stop and think about it for a fucking second.
Of all the acting tricks on how to play drunk, a lot of people can do a pretty decent drunk.
Yeah.
But it's the parsing of the lips and the tongue that sell Arthur's drunk.
Yeah. You want me to tell you the greatest how to play drunk I've ever heard in my life? My theater teacher in high school said, people who are drunk don't act drunk. They try and act sober.
Right.
So, okay, you're desperately trying to convince me that you're sober right now. Okay, now add this to it.
Hey, look. You don't listen to me. You're not listening.
No, you're not listening to me. I heard what you said. You don't think about what you say.
What are you?
No, because you don't. I don't know why you're doing this.
You just don't get it.
No, because you have to do this.
No.
You have to make this happen every time.
See?
Yeah, that's it.
People trying to be sober.
Trying to be sober. We weren't throwing any affectation on that. It was just, no, I'm trying to convince you of how whatever I am. But yeah, that was some fucking, the more you think about it, it's like, we're sitting there laughing at this. What the fuck?
Hey, it's fun.
What the fuck?
Ugh. If you could move 3 feet.
I'm ready for my...
3 feet, I could enter this dwelling.
I'll alert the media.
Wash your dick for you.
Goddamn, Gielgud was... We don't have actors like him anymore. No. Gielgud and fucking Oliver Reed and those people. We don't have those anymore.
I don't know how many times Oliver Reed ever played a drunk on film, other than for sure.
wait, hold on. Define played.
On film.
Yes.
But just for drunks?
Yeah.
Huzzah,
oh,
sir.
Yeah, that's my man. I want to drink all of the booze. I want to have all of the women.
God.
He is, like, honestly, the more I think about it, that motherfucker is tops of my celebrity drunk list.
Absolutely.
Like, if you had the choice between coffee and pancakes at 2 a.m. with Tom Waits or...
Oliver Reed.
Night drinking with Oliver Reed or...
It's not unlike... Go ahead.
Here's another one. Going to a strip club with Slash.
No.
Yeah.
No. I'm not throwing the money away.
Well, the thing is, going to a strip club
and
with Slash...
And he's sober now, so who cares?
Yeah. In the diet, going to a strip club with Slash would be like going to London with Queen Elizabeth.
No, I'm drinking with Oliver Reed.
Yeah, oh, totally. That'd be a hell of a night.
It would... It's not unlike Peter O'Toole in My Favorite Year, where you can either join me drinking, or... What the fuck is the line?
I don't know.
You can either join me drinking or ask me about it, but one's more fun, or something along those lines.
I'm not an actor. I'm a movie star.
Right.
This is his drunk suit. We made it so that we can pull it off of him when he passes out. Oh, my God. That's so fucking great.
You talk about
that. Oh, yeah.
Oh, my.
Let's get into this. Peter O'Toole had such a wonderful air about him with the drunkenness. Because O'Toole is one of those guys that at a certain age, every role he played seemed like he was drunk. Yes. Like Lawrence of Arabia, the early shit he was on, but when he hit like 19, after My Favorite Year on, genuinely felt like he was drunk all the fucking
time.
High
Spirits, he played it like a turned down version of My Favorite Year.
Did I tell you the Peter Gallagher story
about
him? He's like, oh dear boy, you're almost there. Imagine that, spending an afternoon having... What are the two greatest words in the English language?
Lunch beers.
Never is there. I only know that word because of Smiling Lee Shipman.
That's right.
He is the man who introduced that term to my vernacular, and fuck yeah.
I like to call him Unbottle Cut Lee Shipman.
And he is lucky not to have been sliced by a broken bottle that night. I just love the first
cold medicine and Stella Artois.
The first conversation you had with
him. If you don't go there and talk to that girl.
Yeah. I will cut you
with
a fucking bottle.
You fucking listen to me, you shipman. You're going to be fucking hemlock knocked out. Bitch.
Yeah. Yeah.
Pretty much.
That was where it was at, man. That was where it was at. See, what's weird is I found that it is divided between three different types of drinking problems in movies. There's the fun drunk, there's the scary drunk, and then there is Robert Hayes in Airplane.
Oh, my.
I have a drinking problem.
Yes.
Yes.
I had no idea what that meant when I was a kid. No. I thought it was the funniest fucking thing I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah.
You, 'cause it's weird. Look at like how you grew up, the way language was used on television affected you so much. Like, I Love Lucy, they couldn't say pregnant. She's in the family way. They didn't say he's an alcoholic. He has a drinking problem.
Mm-hmm.
And that problem is that he is an alcoholic.
Yes. That's the issue at hand.
That is the crux of the issue there. But that, very funny. Now, here's one that I'll ask whether or not he counts as a drunk. And kind of does. Elmore P. Dowd from Harvey, Jimmy Stewart and Harvey.
I don't know if he's a drunk so much as crazy.
Yeah, crazy and likes going to a bar. But I will say that is one of those movies that the more I look at, I'm like, fuck, that is so, it is so goddamn good.
Yeah.
And just the easiness of it. Just that, like the name Harvey. Wow. That just happens to be my name. Like, oh my God, I could watch that movie anytime. You put fucking Harvey on, I'm like, yes, let us watch this.
Yeah.
Let us watch this.
He falls in the same category as Karen Allen from Raiders. Yeah. I don't know if he's an alcoholic. He's got a vivid imagination and likes a drink.
Yeah. I will let Karen Allen. See, this is what especially pissed me off about Kingdom of the Crystal Nuts.
Yeah.
Sack. Karen Allen is introduced as being the baddest ass in that fucking world. Her sitting there drinking that shit, just, oh my God, that, as a kid, I had no idea what it meant.
No.
I was just like, so she's able, so if you drink enough, you'll pass out. Like, no, if you drink enough, you'll get alcohol poisoning and die in Tibet.
Yeah. I wasn't in Tibet, but man, I got close.
The only thing that would have made Raiders better is, you know who passed on the role of that creepy Nazi who comes in there?
Klaus Kinski.
Fucking Kinski in that part would have been the greatest thing ever.
We are not thirsty. pizza. What a world we live in.
And they ruined her. But yeah, that first time you see her just knocking that shot bag, stacking up, looking like, come on. But
as a grown-ass man, you look at that and go, oh my, that's a lot of whatever rot gut you get in Tibet.
Now, here's the weird part. She sobered up with a quickness.
Yeah.
I mean, like just like, so when I was a kid, it's like, so you're drunk as long as you want to be. Wow. Yes. This is a great idea. Right. Why aren't we this way all the time?
Yeah.
I've decided I need to be clear headed.
Yeah. Wow. That's why I did all those stimulants. I can control my, I think.
Mm-hmm.
No.
Oh, yes.
No.
Oh, yes.
But I bought it from Indian Joe.
Ah.
It's good speed. You like it? Won't have gold bones, but he'll stay up all night long.
You know the one movie drunk that I put on my list that I would most fervently avoid hanging out with? Robert Shaw in Jaws.
I
don't think I want to.
Yeah, he and Ray Milland from Lost Weekend are looking each other in the eye.
The Lost Weekend is one of those that's like,
oh my.
Interesting. It's when we stop and think about it and jokingly refer to Nicole being out of town as one of our Lost Weekend.
No.
Lost Weekend us means we drink a few beers and eat some donuts.
Look, watch
a bunch of Ghost Adventures. Not like
they're barbaric.
There are bats in this room.
Yeah.
And I'm going to go somehow rob a liquor store. Give me a bottle of rye.
Yeah, I don't know.
I want some rye. Yeah, that shit was fucking crazy. Although,
it's not a fun drunk.
Not at all. Much like Bad Santa.
That's not a fun. It's fun to watch.
It's fucking great to watch. And here's my problem. Bad Santa, a lot of fun to watch him.
Bottle of liquor on the fucking Mercedes Benz on the way to the mall. What the fuck is wrong with you?
My favorite moment from that movie is when Thurman Merman comes home and he's bloody nose, like, who did this to you? And he beats the fuck. I beat the shit out of a kid today.
I think I turned a corner today. I beat the shit out of some kids. You need help. That movie is fucking hilarious.
The my favorite line from it is like, I think I'm getting out early because they decided that the police shooting an unarmed Santa Claus was worse than fucking Rodney King.
Yeah.
Just so fucking great.
Were you dropped in your head a lot when you were a kid? On my head? Are you fucking with me? Where's your mom? She's with Jesus, the donkey, the long-eared donkey, and the talking walnut. What? Oh, my God. I laughed. I missed half of that movie in the theater.
What kills me about that is that they then tried to replace one of the truly great movie drunks with that exact same character. And the one of the truly greats would be Morris Buttermaker. Only Walter Matthau's. Because did you see the remake of Bad News Bears?
Yeah, yeah.
Atrocious. Fucking atrocious. Billy Bob Thornton missed it. I don't know if there has ever been a more appealing drunk. Not appealing. A better drunk than Walter Matthau.
Sitting in a dugout with a beer.
Walter Matthau just always looked drunk. That's the beauty of him. But when, just for the heartbreaking moment, when he fucking threw the beer at Tatum O'Neill. And just the change that brought about. Oh, God, that movie is so fucking good.
Yeah.
I mean, it really is. It's one of those things that if you genuinely look at it, it's like, holy crap, you've got a villain who's not really a villain.
Yeah.
And what's weird is when he hits his son, why does he hit his son? We remember when he walks out the Yankee guys, it's because his son threw the ball at Ogilvy.
Oh, yeah.
He threw it at his head.
Yeah.
And he was like, you tried to hit him, bam, he could have killed that kid. And I was like, wait, so what? And this is what blew my mind. What caused him to do that was his son did something unsportsmanlike.
Yeah.
And that's one where you really have to stop and look at it. Yeah, the character's a dick, but look at the motivation. Wow, think about this for a second. If every one of your kids' friends had a father who, if their kid almost injured someone, lost their shit on their son, not, hey, you know, mistakes happen. Like, how fucking dare you do that to another person? That's kind of amazing.
Yeah.
That's a parent, exactly. But yeah, that really just, everything about that was, oh God, I love that. I'm going to watch that shit tonight.
It's good.
It is.
It's good. And the unfunny drunk category is Dick and Liz from Virginia Woolf.
I thought you were going to say from Dick and Liz.
No, what?
The rest is silence.
Silence.
I have not seen Who's Afraid of Virginia Woolf.
Oh, God.
Oh, well.
So many auditions, so many little scenes where someone say, we're going to do a reading for Virginia Woolf.
Yes.
What a dump. First of all, I know you like to drink, Richard Burton character.
Right.
Richard Burton's character.
Burgeon's.
No! You listen to me.
You go lay down.
Yeah. But considering your circumstances.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't condone this at all. In fact, I'd beat your ass if you did this. But
yes.
In this particular situation.
Yes.
I suggest you get up and correct Elizabeth Taylor. With 5 across the eyes and leave her.
Yes.
For God's sake, man. Just walk out.
Uh-huh.
But he can, of course. That's dynamic. Yeah. But my God, that is a slog, man.
Yeah.
It's well acted. Oh, heavens to Betsy, is it well acted.
Yes.
But my... Oh.
See, well, I've never seen that, but I have seen The Days of Wine and Roses.
I haven't seen that.
Oh, my God. Basically, it's... Here's how my addiction can destroy another person by spreading to them.
Orangutang.
Oh, my God. It Jack Lemmon, he's one of those actors that you forget how fucking good Jack Lemmon was
as an actor.
Oh, my God. That thing, he and Lee Remick, they go out on like a blind date together, and, you know, she enjoys the sweets and stuff, and so he hooks her up with the girl drinks, and she discovers how good drinking feels, and it's... genuinely like, oh God, it's very realistic. It's very realistic.
Another one
portrays that stuff. Like,
is,
oh my God.
Have you ever seen Under the Volcano with Albert Finney?
No, I have not. Yeah.
There is no drunken rogue against the world in that kind of, you touch on with Factotum or Barfly, even though it's obvious, you don't want to be that.
Oh no.
But there's a certain kind of romance, whether it's,
Bukowski, all he had was his alcoholism, so he tended to run.
But Under the Volcano,
it's
just,
yeah.
The book is harsh.
Yeah.
Harsh as hell.
Yeah.
The movie doesn't come anywhere close to the book.
Right.
But, man, Albert Finney, he just breaks your damn heart because there's nothing will stop him.
Yeah.
The love of his life, nothing, none of it.
Nope.
It will not stop his destruction.
Gotta do this. Well, it's much in the bar
watching
flight.
A slow car crash.
Yeah. Well, it's much. I never finished Factotum. I got to say, I got enough through it to be like, I've always thought Matt Dillon was a fine actor. I have greatly underestimated his abilities for his entire career. Because, no, Matt Dillon is not a fine actor. Matt Dillon is a goddamn good actor.
He found himself possessed.
Yeah, he fucking nailed it. But his portrayal of the Bukowski surrogate is not, was not, and never will be Mickey fucking Rourke. Oh, my God.
Oh, man.
I got the guts.
I got the guts, but the guts, but need, the guts fuel. Need fuel.
God damn, he was so good. Barfly is one of those that the heartbreakingness of that, just the, this is that, what you're okay with.
That movie is an elevator with One Direction down.
Yes.
In particular, the ones with the documentary footage of Charles Bukowski.
Yeah.
Where it's just the director filming him talking about what the fuck ever.
Right.
Oh, I remember being in the deep throes of depression and well into drink.
Yeah.
All by myself. And I watched that a billion times.
Right.
And one night just feeling like, I think I'm sinking into something.
Yeah.
It's so... It's the siren song for the rocks.
Yeah.
You're like, well, man, I could just follow this dark road all the way down to... Maybe something good will come out of it creatively. No, it won't.
Nope. Yeah.
He just happened to be... God knows what Bukowski could have done if he wasn't blind drunk all the time.
Yeah.
Because he was obviously very talented.
And that's what pissed me off is all these people think... Oh,
not these fucking... He wasn't from another planet.
No.
Everyone calm down, Bono.
Yeah, the drink interfered. I love what a guy who writes for Cracked said about being in L.A. It's like, oh, he has a bar where Bukowski used to drink. Fuck, get drunk on any bus stop in L.A. You're probably drinking where Bukowski used to drink.
He was a really talented writer who could have been, who could have put out better work had he not been so addled.
Yes.
Hunter S. Thompson.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's the romanticism of alcohol in it that I just have no fucking time for.
No.
And speaking of that, I'm going to romanticize alcoholism.
All right, good.
William Powell and Myrna Loy in The Thin Man.
Yeah.
Has anyone ever made drinking look as much fun as they do?
Not really.
Like, seriously.
I did it all the time.
His intro in that movie, when he's talking to the guy about how to make the drink, he's like, you have to shake it like this, man. It shakes it, pours it on the glass, puts it on the tray. The waiter lifts the tray up. He puts the shaker down, turns around, wipes his hands, and picks up the fucking glass off the tray. That is the movie that introduced me to the idea of the ceremony.
Yes.
Of drinking.
It's the ritual.
And that's what people don't understand is the ritual of drinking is half the appeal. There's
it's
something
just like
about,
drugs.
Yeah. There's something.
It is just like drugs.
There's something about, you know what the best beer in the world to drink is for that ritual? The canned Guinness. Because you pop it and it's that. And then you have to go through to pour it this way and let it sit. Then fill it up. Ah. And it's better than tap. Not that it tastes better, but with the tap, you don't have that.
You don't have that time bomb before it spills over the top.
Exactly, like Boddington's or any of those that have the nitrogen in it. It's there's something beautiful about it. And that's why, like you always said, Zach Wilde talks about drinking like somebody who came to it late in life.
Well, he does.
Totally, because I did
too. He didn't.
Too. Yeah.
He did not, but he talks about it as if he did.
See, I came to drinking. I got drunk for the first time when I was 22.
Yeah.
And you remember me. I was straight edge as it comes.
Yeah, sure.
I didn't take aspirin.
Yeah.
And on my 22nd birthday, August 29th, 1997, which according to Terminator 2 is the day the world ended.
Right, it did.
I got drunk for the first time, and it was wonderful. But not that it was wonderful. It was getting drunk. But then you understand that you're in this whole culture where there's all this shit and there's accoutrement and there's a ritual. And there's something so appealing about that. And that really more than anything is the danger of it. Like, seriously, if there was a way to go to a bar without drinking alcohol but have the same experience.
I don't know.
Oh, man.
I don't know.
There never will be because you have to have that for it to really – because – honestly, who wants to be in a fucking dark room like that drinking water? I don't. I did it for ages, and it sucked.
Yeah, no. It's no good. As much as Barfly, in fact, Totem, well, Barfly more.
Yes.
Are so let me get my singular drunk experience and talk about my own thoughts to myself.
Right.
Why not do all of that, but with a buddy and go on a road trip?
Really?
With Nail and I.
I remember...
Richard Grant, E. Grant, and with Nail and
I remember showing up at that, and I don't know, I think you'd heard of it, but you'd never seen
it.
You were like,
passing,
I've
and
heard
I didn't
this name before.
Any of it. It's like anything else. Yeah. You just hear a title of a film, but you don't think about it.
And it's one of those movies that instantly you pick up on all the things that quote that people quote from it all the time.
Yeah.
Like, balls.
Balls.
We want the finest lines available to humanity.
Now.
Although my favorite line from that, and it's because of Richard E. Grant's face, I've had only a few ales. It's the drunkest.
Yeah.
And it's that face... Only Richard E. Grant can pull off. Which is, I've had, and what's weird, Richard E. Grant, teetotaler.
Yes.
Only got drunk once filming that. And you know what's interesting? You know who played I? The Eighth Doctor.
Richard E. Grant could have been a doctor, no problem.
Oh, God, yeah. Oh, man. He apparently was in some of the radio, like the radio plays. Imagine Rich, if the only person I would have been okay getting the doctor over Capaldi would have been Richard E. Grant.
Not a problem.
England would have shut down for the day. There would have been parade, like the Queen's Diamond Jubilee, nothing compared to the celebrations that would have erupted in England. The only person who is more British than Richard E. Grant is fucking Stephen Fry.
Because that's fine, too.
A portrait of Stephen Fry has more England in it than a globe. I mean, sorry, satellite photos of Buckingham Palace. Yeah. The Queen riding a corgi through the time vortex behind the TARDIS is less fucking British than Stephen Fry.
It's pretty true.
True. Comment as you will, friends in England.
Sorry, it is. From our perspective, that's true.
With Nail and I, if it must be burgled. Oh my God! That is one of those.
That would be so fucking awesome.
That was on a St. Patrick's Day that we watched. That was, I brought Long Good Friday. We watched
I think
that.
We started with Long Good Friday.
Yeah.
And then got into With Nail and I. The problem was, With Dale and I was right in the sweet spot of drinking.
Yeah.
Well, your engine's already primed. Uh-huh. You're damn sure not heading for the rocks.
No, yeah, yeah.
So you're in that. This is the greatest thing I've ever seen.
It's the second that the pace car pulls out of the way and you're able to just fucking...
And then The Departed happened. And about two quarters of that, you're like,
Let's
put The Departed on again.
And then... Boondock Saints, and I think we finished it up with Beer Fest.
Did we?
Oh, God, we were so out of hand. That was the night you face-planted because of Poutine.
Oh, God, I don't remember Beer Fest.
Yeah.
No.
It was when you face-planted and stayed there with your legs up in the air.
Like a fucking lawn dart.
Yeah. You stayed there for a good minute, and I was like, I don't know how to react to what's happening right now, except it's awesome. We should go get Wendy's.
So bad.
Oh, man, that movie was where it is fucking at.
But drinking like that was very entertaining. But I remember thinking as a child watching Gene Wilder in Blazing Saddles, man, that looks pretty good.
Yeah.
Because he's drinking it like soda, and it kind of looks like soda. I wonder if whiskey tastes sweet. Remember thinking as a kid?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, it doesn't.
Oh, no, no,
out there,
no,
doesn't.
No.
Whoever you are. Oh.
And I will say this, if you are ever in a position in your life where you're able to pull a draw off of a liquor bottle that has two gulps.
Oh my.
Have I ever told you the worst drinking I ever did and one that I look back on with surprise? It was when I went back to UT. I walked into a party that someone was having and someone held up a bottle like, "Oh yeah, we party," held up a bottle of Everclear.
Oh no.
I grabbed it out of his hand and went and handed it back and they were like, "What? The fuck?
What just happened?
Just happened. We are in a different level." And I looked down and said, "You drink to have fun. I used to drink because I was engaged to a woman I couldn't stand." And then they were like, "Holy shit.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Man, drink like that and he don't eat. He will die.
He gonna die. This is my shooting hand." When? That might be the greatest fucking line ever. God damn, I love Gene Wilder. And that Americans as Doctor Who was American.
Oh, perfect.
Like, who the fuck would play Tom? Oh, yeah.
He's only seconded by Gabby Johnson in Blazing Saddles.
But then
he's just drunk all the time.
Then you step away from him to who is a better Western drunk? Him?
Lee Marvin, Cat Ballou.
Val Kilmer and Tombstone.
That's fine. But
yeah.
Lee Marvin
and Cat Ballou.
Really good. He's so drunk, his horse is drunk.
The drunk horse.
God, my dad's laugh like a fucking hyena. He loved that.
Yeah.
He loved it. Absolutely loved it.
But, dude, I will say, fucking Val Kilmer's Doc Holliday is so goddamn good, it pisses
Vino
me off.
Veritas.
Vino Veritas. Perhaps poker's not your game. I know. Let's have a spelling contest.
I know. Let's have a spelling contest. Why, Ike? Whatever do you mean?
Does this mean you're not my friend?
If I thought you weren't my friend,
I don't think I could bear it.
I will not be part of that. Thank you very much. I'm as right as the mail. Oh, my.
I will say, fucking, what's his name? Quaid. Mm-hmm. Played him later, and that was very, like, straight. But Quaid, I think, did a hell of a job.
Quaid was a very angry drunk.
Yeah.
You can all kiss my rebel dick. Which is still one of the best lines I've ever heard. Take care of your teeth, Wyatt.
When Val Kilmer starts doing the thing with the cup, that made me learn how to do, like, I can spin a fucking pistol like that.
Right.
I can, like, I got to a point with one with a model where I could do it side to side like that. It's just the eyes. Oh, Val Kilmer's eyes. Oh. And what I remember talking about with somebody, that the most impressive thing that Doc Holliday did in that is when he's facing Johnny Ringo, he draws, pops a bullet in his head, spins, puts it back without even ashing his cigarette before Ringo clears his holster. Just bam, boom. You're no Daisy. You're no Daisy at all.
A few people have made drawing a cigarette look more attractive.
Yeah.
In its cigaretteness.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
For smokers out there, or former smokers, you know exactly what I mean.
Mm-hmm.
You're like, yeah, that's the one.
That
well, the temperature's
like
perfect, and my throat's protected just enough. Will you drink enough where smoke doesn't affect your throat?
Yeah.
Which I did
regularly. Oh, yes.
That's the one. Like, I'm just going to let it cascade over my face. Yeah, that's good. And then I'm going to shoot somebody.
Yep.
Which happened all the time.
Oh, yeah.
Well, all the time.
This is Texas. That's apparently what everyone thinks we do here.
Go for a midnight drive.
Jalisco, Jalisco.
It's light beer. Oh, man. What about Bluto Blutarski?
He's a fun drunk.
The greatest moment from that is when he's outside pissing. And the guy's walking up and goes, oh, yeah. They got beer. They have everything.
Grab a beer. Don't cost nothing.
Yeah, that's. I forget the line because I have a beer. Don't cost nothing.
Don't cost nothing.
Fucking great. Bluto is where it's at.
One of my favorite movie drunks is Paul Newman from The Verdict.
Oh, yeah.
It's real.
The coins in the glass.
And he just. And he's just drunk beer.
Yeah. Yep.
I just love it.
Yeah.
That is such a good movie.
It
so
really
underrated.
Is. Yeah. And, dude, read. I need to let you borrow my copy of Adventures in the Screen Trade because he talks about that movie and all the hands it passed. Apparently, David Mamet did a pass at the script and, like, all the number of people. Like, Robert Redford was almost in it. All these changes were fucking nuts. Then you go a little sadder. Dennis Hopper and Hoosiers.
Yeah,
oh,
right
my
here.
God. When he shows up in his... Like, I'm not saying that I know anybody who's experienced the mortification of a parent showing up to something like that a little tipsy. Mm-hmm. But from what I'm given to understand by somebody who might have the same initials as me, it's mortifying.
Yeah.
It's awful. But yes, that... Oh, and what got me about was how heartbroken he was, but that Gene Hackman was like, man just needs purpose. I'll give him one, and we'll be good.
Jennifer Connelly in House of Sand and Fog. I only see her drink once or twice.
Okay, I'm going to blow your mind with this. But, so the whole shit, they lose the house, all that. She doesn't know what to say. And she digs out all the coins to go buy some. Old man and woman next to me goes, oh, but she has money for cigarettes. I was like, do you not fucking realize that there's a damn shade of difference between having enough money for a pack of cigarettes and a fucking house?
Things are...
Evidently, we've been awashed in housing our whole lives because that's all you need is a few
coins.
Darker problem going on at this point.
Oh, that movie was heartbreaking. Kingsley. Yeah, that was the movie that Ben Kingsley was good in. Anytime somebody says Ben Kingsley is good at something, I'm like, oh, that's the one he was good in.
Yes.
Oh, thank God you identified the time Ben Kingsley was passable in a film. Otherwise, I'd done a lost my mind. What about Jackie Chan in Legend of the Drunken Master?
Oh, well, of course.
Well, actually, here's what gets me. Legend of the Drunken Master, what you refer to that movie as lets me know how long you've been a Jackie Chan fan. I have to force myself to call it that because that movie is Drunken Master 2.
Mm-hmm.
I owned a fucking shitty copy of that for years. Mm-hmm. Then it got released in America as The Legend of the Drunken Master. Drunken Master 2 for no reason because it has zero connection to the first Drunken Master movie at all.
I don't think I've seen it.
You haven't seen Legend of the... I'm going to say this. I think Legend of the Drunken Master is Jackie Chan's best movie. It has the best fight scenes. Yeah, I've got a copy of it. Hey, you know what?
Hey!
We should watch it together up at one of our houses
soon. No, you listen to me.
No, you.
No.
Yeah. You'll fucking love it. It has some of the most incredible fights. It's got a guy who does standing splits.
Is it not Jean-Claude Van Damme?
No. I mean, like, he kicks a thing, turns around with one foot on the ground, puts the other foot all the way up over his head. That's the guy from the Jackie Chan stunt squad that Chris Tucker made do this trick where he held four chopsticks in his hand, you know, in his fist, in a clenched fist, and then threw a punch in the air that went so fast that it broke all four of them.
Nice.
In his hand, just with the fucking shift in momentum. Like, oh my.
Okay.
You ain't fucksing about, sir. It's a movie I think you will quite enjoy. Ooh, what about Randy Quaid in real life? In Independence Day. Those aliens interfered with him sexually.
Yes. The shining spot in that film.
Yeah, actually. Really was. Really, really was.
Dean Martin in Rio Bravo?
Dean Martin in life, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, Rio Bravo was that. Although, evidently,
Dean... You still have my copy of Rio Bravo?
I have your copy of The Searchers.
Oh, okay.
No, did I give you The Searchers back?
I don't know. I don't think so.
I might have. I don't know.
I don't know. It
we'll figure it out. No, no, no. You trust me. Jack Sparrow. The Rum.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. It's true.
Frank the Tank.
Yeah, sort of.
The Big Lebowski.
I saw that on a bunch of lists. That's not the one they should look at.
Yeah.
Crazy Heart.
Yeah, I haven't seen Crazy Heart.
That's a good one. It's a little Hallmarkish at times, but he's a damn straight drunk in that.
Fear and Loathing. Nice.
Mm. Yeah, there's a lot more going on than just the drink.
Oh, God, yes.
I would say more Rick Moranis and Dave Thomas in Strange Brew.
You know what I was about to say when you said that? It literally is the only thing left on my fucking list. The hive mind again.
Yes.
I remember renting, I think it might have been Zorro the Gay Blade at a place in Panama and putting it on, and it was a fucking off-TV recording of Strange Brew. And I remember fast-forwarding through it and then stopping for a second and be like, what in the fuck is this? Fast-forward. Why is that dog fly?
What?
I don't. He's full of piss. What?
Take a pee so bad I can taste it. Max von Sydow is in that film.
Yes,
you want me to light it up?
No.
What?
That's so fucking good, man.
It's so
weird, but so beautiful.
Mel Blanc,
the
voice of their father.
Yozer.
Oh, my God. Somebody horked our clothes. Radiation's made me an enemy of civilization. Watch that a lot.
There's a guy that I worked with back at Blockbuster Video. I forget what it was. There was something that was missing, and I was like, I can't find this. And he goes, somebody horked it.
Yes.
So perfect.
So much of this research I saw at W.C. Fields and Betty Davis and what happened to Baby Jane.
Yeah.
No. My favorite all-time movie drunk.
Yes?
Is Brian Sizek as Lester in Fandango. He gets so drunk at the party at the beginning of the movie, he stays passed out for the rest of the film.
It's fucking beautiful, isn't it?
I love it.
You know, I honestly think that my friend Aaron lived in the house that the party at the beginning of that movie was shot in. Because it started out in Austin at UT.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
It was shot in a house, and fucking that house looked exactly like where they live.
Where's your car? You're drinking it.
The only line from that movie that I remember is, Do you boys drink beer?
On occasion.
That right? Costner's best performance ever, just because of the way he looks at him. On it. That
whole part at the end with the little town that helps them throw up the wedding.
Uh-huh.
Fantastic. Hell, I got napkins.
Well, and the beauty of that, for whatever anyone can say about Texas, blah, blah, that is the most Texas moment fucking
yes, it is.
Ever. Because you're from a small town like that in yeah. Texas. How far-fetched is that occurrence?
Not much.
Yeah.
Maybe
yeah.
not currently.
Yeah.
But
back in those days?
In the 70s, 80s?
Yeah.
Almost guaranteed.
And the fact that that was early 70s.
Yeah.
Fuck yeah. Oh, man. That really is a beautiful movie.
I can't say
really
this enough. Fandango, if you haven't seen that.
Yeah,
especially if you're from Texas, you haven't seen
that. God, do yourself a favor.
What are you doing?
Yeah.
It's, damn
it,
it's good.
On the shtick, yo.
Yeah.
So. Do you have anything else?
Nope, that's it.
I think we are good. Well, thank you for joining us on this. You can phone us at 512-666-RANT. Tell us a story. We haven't gotten one of those in a while, except for fucking beauty school people that I'm sicking folks on. www.thefilmthugs.com. You can get all kinds of shit off that. You can email us at thefilmthugs@gmail.com or thugquestions@gmail.com. Additionally, Twitter, Facebook. We also have a Skype, the_film_thugs. If you want to buy shit from anybody, Amazon, Onnit, T-Fury, go through our site first, and they will pay us. It doesn't cost you an extra cent. They pay us for it. I think next week is questionable if we will record. If we do, I think we should record on Wednesday and do a Philip Seymour Hoffman show.
Yes.
But if we can't do it then with the move.
Yeah, we're moving, kids.
We might have to do a bye week next week, but we'll see.
We'll see what
happens.
We'll
play that shit by the ear. But other than that, I think we're good here. Anything else?
This message is brought to you by John Cornyn, Inc.